Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Oh, Trojan fans, welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Saturday. We're doing a podcast on a Saturday, kind of like a car cast, although neither of us are in a car. We got to talk about the USC spring game that happened. Today is April 23rd. The conclusion of USC spring football practice, the Lincoln Riley era, has begun. Got to watch it live on ESPN. A lot of you, 33,000 of you, are out there at the Coliseum checking it out. I was not, and neither is my partner, Shotgun Spratling, who's on the line with us. Shotgun, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I tried to get out there. I kept checking flight prices throughout the week, looking to see if I could get one of those last-minute deals to get back out there, but couldn't make it happen. So decided to watch on ESPN. It was great that it was on ESPN. National coverage, the only live spring game that they were gonna host on ESPN. So USC got a full bevy of ESPN reporters out there to talk about the Trojans as well. So, you know, definitely on showcase today.
It was on showcase, and I didn't have to fly anywhere to go to the Coliseum. I could drove just like I normally do, but I got the Rona this week or last or the weekend or something. So I'm in quarantine. So I could not go to the spring game. So I got to miss the last week of spring football practice, which kind of sucked because I'm really excited about seeing it, but it was a great place to watch. I mean, it was great to watch it on TV following along with our reporters. We had like five people there still covering the game, but I wasn't one of them. Shotgun was one of them, but we're going to talk about it. You know, our friends over at the Reign of Troy, I don't know, they stopped doing podcasts or something. So we're going to infringe on their car cast that's not in a car. Hopefully they're not too mad at us. Keely, apologies to Keely, but hopefully the Reign of Troy people aren't going to be mad.
We'll see. We'll see what they say.
They might do one. They've been talking about doing a show, I think, but I don't know what they're getting married. They've got a lot of stuff going on. They got real jobs. So there's a lot going on there. If you have any questions or comments for the show, we'll have our regular scheduled show this week. I didn't get to do a show with Chris this week, mostly because I was, had the coronavirus thingy. I'm fine, by the way, just no big deal. Just like a little bit of a cold, but I tested positive. So I just wanted to quarantine from everybody, but you can email us podcast@uscfootball.com, or you can call or text us at 424-254-9141. And if you have the Apple Podcasting app, please follow us and leave us a 5-star rating or review. It does help to grow the show. And I want to thank our sponsor, Trader Joe's. They've been great to us over the years. If you went over to the Coliseum today, little pregame festivities, maybe you can stop by Trader Joe's. They got that great location over there at the University Village. Check it out. I always, before I go, I love to go over to TraderJoe's.com and kind of just click around and see what, you know, what I like, what I want to get. Because usually I buy more than what I've intended to do. But then I want to pick a few things from their list. There's usually some great wines that you can look on there. Like there's a Maison Bourlet Cabernet Syrah that I wanted to check out. It's $5.49 a bottle. I'm like, how can you go wrong? I do like the Hazy IPA from Boatswain. I like that. But they have a Kentucky bourbon there, Shoddy. I don't know if you would want to try that. There's a Kentucky Best Straight Bourbon and a Kentucky Bourbon. They're like 13, 14 bucks. So not too bad.
That's much more up my alley than the beer or wine. I don't drink either of those. My favorite thing at Trader Joe's, as I've said multiple times on the podcast, is the maple cookies. But I've given up desserts this year, so that means all cookies as well. So no maple cookies for me this year. So if someone wants to send those for a Christmas present so they can have them at the beginning of next year, that'd be great.
Nice. Man, dessert for a year. I don't think I could do that. That would be...
Got to challenge yourself, fun. Ryan.
That's a challenge. Yeah, that's a huge challenge for me. Like that's almost like giving up oxygen or something. but anyway, yeah. So what it was a pretty big production today. So USC had their pregame show. Our own Keeley, or formerly Keeley, was on it at the end, got to do a quick interview with Lincoln Riley coming out of the tunnel. They had, you know, Jordan Moore, they had Sean Cody, they had Sua Cravens. Mostly it was like kind of canned interviews from the week of practice leading up to it, but it was, you know, an actual pregame show for the spring game. We found out it was with 33,000 something in attendance for the spring game. It looked pretty good. They started keeping records in the late 90s. You know, even the Matt Leinart days, they're just, you know, you'd get like 15,000 for a spring game. It just, the people wouldn't come out for that. But there was a lot of people out there. I know you can't compare it to what Oklahoma did, or Oregon had a full Autzen Stadium today for their spring game, because there was like six Pac-12 spring games today. But for USC, I felt like that was a big deal, shotgun, having that many people out there.
I'll repeat what I tweeted out, and you can bleep it out if you need to. But here's what I'll say about the USC spring game attendance compared to Oklahoma, compared to Oregon, compared to anyone else. No one gives a fuck. If you're comparing, complaining, or arguing about it, you need something more in your life. What does it matter? It's an exhibition. You might as well compare it to the Harlem Globetrotters attendance. What does it matter? It doesn't. Now, if you want to compare USC's attendance versus their attendance in the past, I think that kind of just gives you a lens to see the excitement level of this. And I thought it was really interesting because, you know, I was not around during the Liner, you know, Reggie Bush era, to see the numbers. And you talk about it was probably 15, 20,000 there, that this was the most that they've had since the late 90s when they started keeping this number. So I think that really tells you. One, I think it tells you the excitement level of the fans right now, but I think it tells you how down the fans were before, and they've just been waiting for something to be excited about, and this was their first opportunity to really rally around Lincoln Riley and the things that are going on in the program now, and they wanted that first opportunity to see what it looked like, see what Caleb Williams looked like throwing to Mario Williams, see what Brendan Rice looked like out there, see what Romello Height and Shane Lee, what they've added to the defense. You wanted to see those type of things, and I think that was the excitement level, and give credit to USC and their administration for the things that they did with the food trucks, with the surplus sale, and looking at some of the prices that surplus sale. A little disappointed I couldn't get out there to see if they had any good hats out there, but you know, they had some shoe, they had surplus shoes, Nikes for $20. I mean, how you can go wrong with that? But you know, just a lot of things that were going on around the event that they made it, you know, a special event. And obviously there was parking woes, so that tells you that it was a big event for USC.
Yeah, and I same thing. I think Oklahoma had like 75,000, which was more like, I read some of the Oklahoma reporters that I like, and it seemed like people were excited. Like they were, you know, there's a lot of disdain for Lincoln Riley, but they were excited for the new era of Oklahoma football. So more people came to their spring game than normal. That's great. And the same thing happened at USC. More people came. And I think the important aspect is if you watch one of the five or six interviews that Caleb Williams did during the ESPN broadcast, I mean, literally they interviewed him like every break he was getting interviewed, but at halftime, our friend Pete Thamel got an interview with Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams. And one of the more interesting things was when he talked about just not being bothered. Like no one comes up to him and takes pictures. He's a celebrity in Norman. He's a nobody, literally a nobody in Los Angeles. He said he went to
he's not that top tier A-list.
Right. Like if you're in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're trying to find someone that you would like an autograph from, like a year ago, it would be Lincoln Riley one probably and Caleb Williams two, right? Like those probably the two most important people you'd want to see like in the whole city. And that's obviously not the case here in Los Angeles. But he was like, yeah, well, I go to dinner and Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson are like at the next table. Like if there's going to be paparazzi there, it's for some celebrity or some socialite. It's not for the USC quarterback, even though he was on, you know, Good Morning America and things like that. And I feel like that's one of those things where if you're out here and you run into a celebrity, you don't see people just gushing all over them. They kind of leave, you know, that'll happen sometimes. But for the most part, people leave other people alone, you understand. But if Kim Kardashian was walking down, you know, Norman, Oklahoma, she'd probably be swamped, right? So it's just a little different. The mentality is a little bit different here in Los Angeles. And I think because people care about other things besides USC football, that's why you're not going to see 75,000 people at a spring game. But the fact that you saw 33,427 people at a spring game, way more than what we even saw during Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush era. I think that's what's important to me.
I think the comparison of, you know, years past is what's important. It just shows the excitement level of the group, you know, of the group of USC fans. Doesn't really matter how they showed out compared to other schools. Oregon, they didn't sell out. They had a nice attendance as well. But again, new coach, you want to be excited about your new, where the program is kind of heading. And, you know, that's great to see for those programs. And it should be that way. You want all these programs to have a ton of attendance. What was UCLA's attendance, Ryan? You watched their spring showcase or whatever it was that they had on their practice field. They have a coach that's been, you, there was a lot of conversation about whether he would return or not. What was that spring game attendance like?
Yeah, no, nowhere near that. I mean, it was like their track field or whatever. It wasn't even, yeah, it was just a practice. Like they didn't.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what's going to happen when, you know, the difference between new head coach, people wanting to be excited about the newness and where the program could be heading versus a coach that's been a little bit embattled and, you know, is trying to make his way through. And especially when you only have a practice, you don't have an actual game or anything. And I thought that was really great for USC. You know, it was basically two quarters of action. It wasn't a ton. They had a number of guys out. I mean, you had Gary Bryant. You had a number of stars out, too, guys that you expected could be playmakers for you. Gary Bryant Jr., Josh Fallow, Haskins on the offensive line, Damani Jackson, Mekhi Blackman at cornerback, C.J. Williams at wide receiver, the freshman, Xavion Alford at safety, you know, Lake McCree at tight end. There was a number of guys that were out, so, you know, they were kind of thin on the numbers. They're obviously still thin because of the transfers out and the number of guys they're trying to turn over on this roster. So they're trying to figure out how, you know, just to make it work. And I thought it was great that they found a way, you know, with the two teams, offense versus defense. And, you know, they couldn't go a full two deep on both sides. So, you know, mixing and matching, but finding a way to make an actual competition rather than it just being a practice. Because that's one of the things, obviously, USC fans have been lamenting for the last few years that, you know, the spring, there's no excitement because there's no actual game. You don't get to see that true competition. It's just another practice. And, hey, sure, fans want to see some practices, but they really want to see that competition period and see Mario Williams going up against one of the cornerbacks and seeing what those new guys, those new faces are able to do. And I think that's what you saw today.
Yeah. Let's look at some of the numbers real quick. They put out some official USC spring game statistics. So for rushing, Travis Dye led the way. He had 7 carries, 27 yards. Austin Jones had 6 carries for 14 yards and a touchdown. And Barlow had 5 for 23. So those guys, I thought they all looked pretty good. Caleb Williams completed his first 9 passes, finished, I think, 10. I thought it was 10 of 13, but they put 10 of 12 on this one. 98 yards, couple touchdowns. Moss had a touchdown. He was 15 of 20 for 169 yards. And no one really stood out as far as receiving wise outside of Mario Williams. He had 4 catches, 32 yards, but 2 of those touchdowns. And Kyle Ford had a really nice 48 yarder from, that was his only catch. He's done that a couple of times, right? His only catch was a touchdown.
He did it a couple of times last year where his only play, basically, of the game where he was running a route, he scored against Washington State. And it made you wonder, why is he not getting more opportunities, not more opportunities? Talking about the wide receivers, obviously, Mario Williams with the 2 touchdowns in the red zone, making some plays there. The Caleb Williams to Mario Williams connection was there. One of them over their former Oklahoma teammate as well, Latrell McCutcheon, for the second one. But I thought Kyren Ware Hudson, he was a guy that stood out to me, you know, making some plays, had the big catch down the sideline on just a kind of a jump ball for Miller Moss. And, you know, that connection, you know, a little bit of a modern day connection where Miller Moss went there and they're pretty good friends. And, you know, he found him a couple of times out there. So I thought he showed some stuff for a guy that was a little bit further down the list of, you know, I want to see this guy. I want to see what he can do. But he's a guy that didn't really get to do too much last year. So get an opportunity. And you know, we've heard that he's been making some plays this spring as well.
Yeah. He looked really good out there. He was make that one catch he had, like the defender was draped all over him. You mentioned, McCutcheon and, Latrell McCutcheon. So he's the transfer from Oklahoma, gets a great, I don't think it was a pass breakup, but it was a great stick, on a pass on a route and lowers his shoulder into the defender, and the Pac-12 refs call him for targeting and throw him out of the spring game. No, he didn't get thrown out of the spring game. He was back like soon after. I don't know how many plays he was out for. I don't know if they just reviewed it and like, oh yeah, but that would have been a stop. They had a weird kind of scoring system where it was the defense starts with 21 points. And if they score a touchdown, they would get points. If they get a stop, they would get points. And the offense just got points. The offense ended up winning. What was it like? I forget, it was 31-24 or something like that. But that would have been a stop. And then I think the offense ended up getting a field goal out of that one. But they called it. It was a terrible, targeting call. And they throw him out of the game. And it was like, but he came back. So that was definitely a Pac-12 ref moment.
Midseason form. Hey, we're ready to go. And I think I mentioned this in a tweet that it's actually a positive for USC for all those transfers that are coming in to realize, okay, this is what you're going to have to deal with. And, just like you expect a call out there one way or the other, and it might be completely different. So you got to make the perfect play at times. And Latrell McCutchen comes up in a big hit, right shoulder of the midsection, great hit, breaks up the pass, and they throw a flag and say it's targeting and say he's ejected from the spring game. And everybody's like, what did I just hear? And everybody that covers USC just goes, hashtag Pac-12 refs.
Yeah, completely hashtag Pac-12 refs. On the defensive side of the ball, I mean, I think Shane Lee was out there. You got to see him kind of run around. McCutchen made a bunch of plays. I thought they were active. The defense probably won the first half, and then they did a much better job, especially when Caleb Williams had the ball in the second half. But it was great to see Solomon Tuliala-Pupu out there. They didn't credit him with the tackle for loss in the stat sheet, but I think he got one. And then Tuli-Tuli-Pelotu definitely he had some, I think he only had one tackle in the game, but it seemed like he was a very active player as well. They interviewed him, which was a little adventurous because if you've ever talked to him, he doesn't say a whole lot, but they did put him on ESPN, which was kind of funny.
Yeah, he's quick with his answers. You gotta have several questions prepped for him because he gets directly to the point answering your question. He doesn't, going along a long story or anything around it. But yeah, he was good. He had multiple tackles for loss. I think the defensive stats are a little bit off. SID, obviously they're going through a turnover too. With Tim Tessalone not there, so I don't know if he was in the press box helping out there. But it's a little bit different format and what you're looking at there. But McCutchen ended up with four tackles. As far as the official tackles we got, that was tied for the most. I thought the best thing I saw all day was seeing Solomon Tuliala-Pupu go out there and make a tackle for loss. And just knowing all the stuff he's gone through to try to get back and try to be able to play, all the injuries he sustained, and just seeing him last year and seeing the disappointment when he got a couple of snaps, or one snap, I believe it was, on special teams in a game. And then a couple days later, he just basically couldn't do anything at practice. So seeing him out there go through the entire spring, and as far as we know, there was no setbacks, and he practiced the entire time and out there to make some plays, that was the best thing I saw all day. Yeah, there were some great things and some things you look at and say, oh, this could be exciting for USC during the season. That was the very best thing I saw all day, seeing him out there making a play and making a tackle for loss with everything he's gone through. And in similar vein, it was good to see Brandon Peely back out there. He had a tackle at the line of scrimmage, tackle for loss maybe. The cornerback, I'm blanking on the name right now, Adonis Ote, him being out there, just some guys that have been out and missed a complete year, for them to be back out there, it's always good to see the hard work that they put in. Same thing with Max Williams, seeing him out there, knowing he's going through that ACL injury for the second time, to get back out there and for them to try to make some plays was really good to see.
Yeah. Go back to the quarterbacks a little bit. I mean, I kind of joked about the number of interviews that Caleb Williams did, but he did a lot. Was it Molly McGrath interviewed him on the sideline? Mm-hmm. RG3 interviewed him. Pete Thamel interviewed him. They interviewed him at the end of the game. There was at least four or five times he was interviewed during that game or just soon after that game. But you could see his leadership, the way he came out and threw the ball, 9 for 9, two nice strikes to his former teammate at Oklahoma, Mario Williams, for the two touchdowns. Just moved the ball really efficiently. And he was, they called a couple sacks later on him. But, I mean, he was very elusive in the pocket. Just he took off and ran a couple times when he had to. And, you know, there were, I don't think there was times where, like, he took off and ran and he wouldn't have been sacked. It just, he got away from the rush. But there was other times where he kind of stayed in the pocket, was still around the rush, avoided the two-hand touch kind of thing, because you can't hit the quarterbacks, and still be able to deliver the ball downfield. Like, we remember when you remember Sam Darnold doing stuff like that. He just seemed, I said he had like spidey sense in the pocket. He just seemed to be able to move around. And I was really impressed with what he was able to do, not just on the field, but how he carried himself, all those interviews. The leadership was pretty apparent from Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and I tweeted this yesterday when we saw that him, you know, give out beats to the rest of the team. And then today, even seeing, you know, like that he, it wasn't just his teammates. It wasn't just the scholarship guys. It was all the walk-ons. It was also like the athletic trainers and stuff that he hooked up everyone around the program that he could. And he talked about this on a podcast, the Momentum podcast, that I think was posted earlier this week, about, you know, having something in the plans and trying to do something for everyone and not just, you know, a certain amount of guys. He was trying to get it for everybody. And so he gives out beats and the earbuds as well to everyone, a T-shirt that's, you know, has the fight on, basically the fight on symbol, the V for victory symbol. In, you know, it's kind of personalized with Caleb Williams' touch of, you know, of the fingernails being painted and stuff on there. So I thought that was really cool. But it shows his, you know, when a leader is caring for everyone under them, when your superstars are caring for everyone under them, then that's when a team, the team chemistry and camaraderie can really take off. And I think that's he's shown that with what he's done so far. You saw that on that touchdown pass that Miller Moss had to Kyle Ford down the sideline. The guy that was happiest on the sideline was Miller Moss. I mean, was Caleb Williams, was jumping up and down on the sideline. And that's the type of leadership that you really look for, a guy that everyone gravitates towards because he's excited for everyone else to succeed just as much as he's excited for himself to succeed. And when he can go out there and give a gift to his teammates, whether that's a gift of a touchdown pass or a gift of, you know, some beats, he's excited to do that. And I think you saw that from him. You know, you saw the pocket awareness, the mobility, and not just, hey, he's fast and he can run with the football in his hands, but he can maneuver around the pocket to give the offensive lineman, to make the offensive line seem a little bit stronger than it even is those quarterbacks that can move around just enough, the Tom Brady style, where you just move away from where the rush is coming from and you help your offensive line out, and they're going to want to play for you even more after that. And then you saw him take off on a couple runs, so show the actual athletic ability there too, and he makes some throws down the field. A lot of quick passes early on in the game. They tried to attack a little bit down the field and they couldn't get that connected too much. But you saw the positive signs of what Caleb Williams can do for USC. And you saw the connection with Mario Williams. He talked a little bit about that with Molly McGrath and said he can use Mario Williams as an example and say, hey, Mario can do this, and use him to help explain the offense. And that's why, you know, you're going to see that offense come along a lot quicker than it would otherwise with those extra pieces that are used to the Lincoln Riley system.
Let's take a quick break because we're going to try to keep this one short. Shotgun's got family and everything, and we're just going to be doing our little car cast thing here. Back in a minute, and we'll finish up our post-USC spring game podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we're back here on the Peristyle Podcast. Shotgun, one last thing on the quarterbacks. Miller Moss, I guess, you know, when we kind of talk to these players after practices, and sometimes they'll take a like a subtle shot at the way things used to be. And he said something about the leadership group. He said Miller Moss said USC didn't lack the players or personnel who could be leaders last year, but that there was no forum to do so. And then Caleb Williams mentioned a leadership group that meets several times a week, and said that elite teams are led by the player. So it sort of was like Miller's like, hey, man, we had players that wanted to lead, but they didn't really put us in a position to do so. If that was my interpretation. I don't know what you thought about that.
Yeah, I thought it was a very interesting comment, and I would like to kind of get a little bit more information on that before, you know, really diving in and having an opinion on it, because, you know, I think it's just they didn't have great leadership from above, and when your head coach gets fired two games in, that makes it that much more difficult. Now it's like, well, okay, well, who's the guy that you look to? Who's the person that makes the final decision on things, all those type things? And then you don't have that true leadership class that it felt like is what he was trying to say there, of, you know, a specific group that everyone could turn to. And because I think part of that was there was those factions that were in the locker room where there wasn't, you know, okay, well, everyone looks to these five captains or this 10 member leadership group, and they'll guide us towards which way we're going to go and how we're going to act and things like that. I don't feel like they had that. So that was a very interesting comment. I will say, I thought Miller Moss had a really good day. You know, he threw for, you know, what, 160 something yards or something like that, 15 of 20. He was solid, had the deep ball to Kyle Ford. He moved pretty well in the pocket. He went through his progressions, I thought. He checked the ball down the running backs at times. So I thought he had a really nice day and showed what he could do there. So, you know, I think that gives you a little bit of confidence if you're a USC fan. If, hey, something does happen to Caleb Williams, you know, we're not in dire straits as long as Miller Moss is there, even though there's only two quarterbacks. And hey, they would definitely love to add some more to that. And that was brought up again this week during the practices. It was brought up again by Lincoln Riley today that they want to add more bodies in the next couple of months over through the transfer portal. And quarterback is one of those positions where they'll definitely want to add somebody.
It's funny, Miller Moss was getting, after that touchdown pass to Kyle Ford, Molly McGrath was interviewing him, and he said, Kyle Ford made a hell of a play, and then Molly McGrath like repeated it like, that was a heck of a play. And then he felt embarrassed because she wasn't, because he felt like he didn't say, oh, like, am I allowed to say that? And like, you can say that on TV. That's okay. But I thought that was pretty funny. But just to, you know, for a kid like that, who people were like, oh, he's probably going to transfer out of the program, he could be the backup in this, on this team, and do well and have a whole lot of fun. And you saw that, like, that doesn't look like a player that's want to transfer. Like, if this is what it's going to be, you score a bunch of points, the backup quarterback can come in and make some plays. I feel like that's what you want. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to become a better quarterback. He looked really good out there when he was out there. There wouldn't be any kind of reason. I mean, to me, it just makes a lot of sense. He seemed like he was really enjoying himself.
Yeah, it's enjoying himself, but Miller is a very cerebral player, and he really wants to learn under Lincoln Riley. I think that's one of the big attractors, even though Caleb Williams ended up coming with Lincoln Riley. Part of the reasons why he wanted to stay, and you look at it, you know, when Caleb Williams comes in, you know he's going to be the starter. I don't know why anyone's trying to make it a quarterback controversy or a quarterback competition. No one thought it was actually going to be a quarterback competition. Miller didn't think it was going to be a quarterback competition, but he wanted to learn under Lincoln Riley. And even if he has to sit out this year, if he learns that, you know, or sit behind Caleb Williams this year and play some in blowouts, or, and if, hey, he needs to go in, he can go in. But then if he does end up becoming a grad transfer when he finishes up his school in a year, then he takes with him everything he's learned from Lincoln Riley, and he was really excited about that potential. And I think you're seeing that he's having a ton of fun right now. And you can see that from his interviews that he's had this spring, but you can see it out there on the field as well, connecting with Kyle Ford on that one. And Kyle Ford's a guy that he's – you know, that Miller's been a big fan of. You know, Kyle Ford was a couple grades ahead of him. He's been a big fan of Kyle Ford for a long time, and, you know, expected him to have a big season last year, and unfortunately didn't happen for Kyle Ford. So to connect with him, I'm sure he was really excited to be able to make that connection.
Couple more topics we'll let you go, Shotgun. I really liked, and I'd love to watch a little more detail, but we've heard about this as far as, like, the run game goes. To me, I thought I saw wide receivers – doing their best to block downfield and seeing, you know, the guard and the tackle maybe at the same time pulling. There was I think you retweeted someone that Gino Quinones tweeted from his guard spot and just absolutely lit up a guy. These guys are running downfield. All the running backs, I thought, did a really good job. The screen passes were good. There was one, I think, Miller Moss overthrew, but the other ones were, they just seemed like they were well-designed instead of like a flipping a coin, hoping it works, you know, sort of thing. It looked like a more comprehensive approach to this is how we're going to set up the run game. And then once we get this running back to the second level, we also have guys blocking down there. I don't know. You probably have to look at the tape too, but what did you see from USC's run game?
Yeah, I mean, that's something I definitely recorded so I could go back. All right, I want to watch the offensive line in particular and see how they moved. But, you know, kind of watching everything overall, I knew we were going to talk about Caleb Williams, so I had to watch him and Miller Moss first off. But the offensive line, you know, I'll take Jalen McKenzie's word on it. He tweeted at the end of the game that the offensive line was very in sync, as much as the band in sync. So, I think that tells you that first five grouping, they were together the entire spring. They worked out, you know, that's a group that's been together in the past a little bit too. So Bobby Haskins, when he comes in, does that change things up a little bit? Where does he fit in? That'll be a question that we'll figure out in the fall. But that first five group, which was Cortland Ford at left tackle, Andrew Voorhees at left guard, Brett Nealon at center, Justin Dedich at right guard, and Jonah Monheim at right tackle, I thought they did a terrific job, especially early, those first three or four drives, I believe it was, that they had, or at least first two drives, they scored easily with Caleb Williams at quarterback. And I thought that, you know, I actually had a check for a second. I was like, wait, Andrew Voorhees isn't playing on the right side, right? Because I kept seeing him on the right side at the end of plays. Because he was pulling so much. And I thought it was really interesting to see him getting out there some. You saw on the touchdown run that Austin Jones had later, I believe in the second half, it was a 6 or 7 yard. And on third down, they decided to run the ball. You know, they had run it a couple times inside the 10-yard line, didn't get too much. So they said, we're going to run it one more time. And you saw Mason Murphy with the second group pulling from his left tackle spot and going and making a big block to lead the way for Austin Jones. So you're seeing the guys moving around a ton. It's not just straight ahead blocking. And, you know, offensive linemen like that opportunity to sometimes get out in space and, you know, pull and, you know, do some pin blocks and different things like that. And you saw one with the Gino Quinones, because sometimes when you get out and pull, you get to catch somebody who's not looking for it. And Gino Quinones, you know, had a big block blowing up. One of the DBs, I believe it was coming up and was not looking for that offensive lineman coming from the other side and helped, you know, want to run up the middle down in the goal line area too. So, you know, from the little bit I caught and the fact that the quarterbacks weren't under duress all the time. Do you remember last spring game, Ryan?
Yes.
Do you remember Miller Moss
went down?
Yeah. Mo Hassan went down with an injury, which that was not necessarily on the offensive line. He did get out of the pocket on that one with some pressure, but just unfortunate, you know, non-contact. But do you remember how much duress Miller Moss was under? Because he took over basically all the reps after Mo Hassan went out, and it was just constant. someone in his face the entire time. And I thought that Miller Moss and Caleb Williams had a ton of time most of the day. Later in the scrimmage, you saw the defense switch some things up, and I think that Lincoln Riley was kind of happy with that. The fact that the offense was rolling early, the defense made some adjustments, and they started making some plays. And that's what he said that this spring has been about for USC, is that the competition, you know, there's been ebbs and flows. The offense will lead, and the defense will make some adjustments and come back, and, you know, and that's what you want to see during the spring. And I thought the fact that the quarterbacks had plenty of time most of the day, I thought that was a really good sign for the offensive line. And seeing Travis Dye, seeing Austin Jones, you saw what you're going to get out of those two guys. They're going to run in between the tackles. They're going to attack downhill, but they can get out in space and do a little bit too. They can catch the ball in the backfield. And, you know, Darwin Barlow had 5 carries. I didn't really notice him that much, except for the fact that he had the toss actually on the reverse. And USC, you know, breaking out trick play to have some fun during the spring game. And I believe it was Kyron Ware-Hudson that had a nice run on that reverse as well.
That was cool. Yeah. And I think that first drive, if you want to go back and watch it, 6 runs, 6 passes, they're running downhill. Caleb Williams, you know, delivering strikes. I think you're going to see a lot of that. That's going to be like USC's offense. I would say watch that first drive of the spring game. One last thing before we let you go, Shotgun. We wanted to see what that defensive front kind of looked like. I honestly just didn't get to check it out too much. You kind of watching some individual players. Did anything sort of stand out the way they were structuring that and how effective they were? The front 7 for the defense.
Yeah, I didn't really get a chance to check out the defensive front. Tulu Tupulotu, like we mentioned, had a couple of tackles in the backfield. It seemed like he was kind of unblocked on those, and I don't know if that was on him or that was the offensive scheme. They were kind of running away from him. How that exactly, that'll take some rewatch to really know. But what stood out is a comment that was made after the game, actually. So Leonard Williams was interviewed after the game by Molly McGrath, and she asked, what, you're back for the first time in a few years. And he said the culture's great and, you know, the vibe is really good around the team. He's really excited about it. And she asked him, well, what do you think about the talent on the team or on the field? And he said, I like number 0. I don't know what his name is, but number 0 on defense. And I think that's probably one of the best signs of the day for USC, because that's Corey Foreman. And Corey Foreman was making some plays. He dropped back in coverage about 12, 15 yards on a play. He was in the backfield at times. He hit Caleb Williams. They talked about that a bunch on the broadcast on a play and about how he's not supposed to do that. But I think he was just excited to be out there because, you know, he had the slow start to the spring with the injury, the knee dislocation, I believe is what he said he had. So getting him back out there and for him to make some plays is a big sign. I think you saw Romello Height had a sack on Caleb Williams. You saw Nick Figueroa have a couple of pressures, including a sack. So I think there's some positives there. I'll go back and look at it a little bit more in depth a little bit later. But I think the fact that Leonard Williams said, I don't know who he is, and didn't know that it was, hey, 5-star Corey Foreman, you know, a guy that was the number one player in the country, but he just goes, 0. That guy's playing. And if Leonard Williams is saying it, I'm going to believe it.
Yeah, no, that was a great moment. You were hoping that Molly McGrath was going to say, hey, that's Corey Foreman, the former 5-star, number one player in the country. But the fact that he didn't know, he just knew he was playing. I think that is definitely a good sign for USC fans. All right, well, that's probably a good place to cut this one off. Sean,
I got a couple quick notes that I wanted to throw in there.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, of course.
We didn't talk too much about the defense there, but Shane Lee, you could definitely see the impact that he's going to have for USC. You would see, I just saw 53 around the ball a ton, all over the field, different ways. Corey Foreman was similar. He was all over the field, but Shane Lee making a ton of plays out there. I think you saw the range of Kalen Bullock, you know, playing. He was playing that deep safety spot, and just seeing him be able to get out and get over to catch an interception that was called back because of a penalty, but a couple of times getting over to make plays over the top. You know, I think he shows the range of him. And then how about Alex Stadhouse, 55-yard field goal? I know there's not a rush or anything, but, you know, the thing with Alex Stadhouse is you felt pretty good about he's going to be consistent from 30 to 45. But after that, does he have the leg necessarily? You know, we haven't necessarily seen that in the past, but a 55-yarder, that's a positive sign for USC special teams as well.
Yeah, that was a good one. People were tweeting me about that, like, Stadhouse, 55-yard field goal. Yeah, I mean, that's a one of the, you know, he came out of the transfer portal, right? He went into the portal and came back out. But that's a big get, I think, because you saw the punt game. They're really not a punter right now, right? Because you had
the backup walk on from last year, Will Rose from St. John Bosco, was punting, but they're waiting on Atticus blanking on his Bertrand, I believe it is. I believe that's his last name. The Australian punter who will be here in the fall. You did see a couple of the fall signees were there today. I think Devin Tompkins was on campus to check it out. Relique Brown was there. Relique Brown was also tweeting at some of their USC's other, you know, big time targets like five star Brandon Ennis. There was a good number of recruits in attendance, as well as, you know, the local kids were all there. There were a number of modern day guys. So it was a big day for USC to get out and showcase themselves, you know, locally, and the guys that could make it out for the spring game, but also because it's on TV, you have someone like Brandon Ennis still watching in Florida, a five-star wide receiver. So I think that's really big for USC again.
Yeah, that was a big one. So we'll have all that kind of information about who was out there for recruiting wise, and you can check it up on uscfootball.com. We had a thread going on during the game, tons of interviews and analysis and everything going up afterwards. But we wanted to get a quick cart cast up because, you know,
you keep calling a car cast when no one's in a car, Ryan.
We were not a car, but this is sort of an homage to our friends over at Rand of Troy, because they're never in a car either. They used to be in a car. I'm a studio post spring game podcast, whatever you want to call it, but, it was fun. But thanks, Sade. We'll have our regular Tunnel Vision show on Sunday night, so we can break it down live in more detail Sunday night, 7 p.m. YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. We'll have it all up on uscfootball.com, and then you can get the replay right here on the Peristyle podcast feed as well. But thanks again for coming on short notice, Shotgun.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We will hope you enjoy the show, and we will talk to you next time.
You may have noticed that shopping at Trader Joe's is unlike shopping at other markets. People ask us all the time how we manage to have such unique, interesting, and delicious products at such great everyday prices. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. The answer is simple. It's all in the way we do business. We buy directly from the manufacturer whenever possible. This helps to keep our costs low, and we pass those savings on to you. No gimmicks, just great values at honest prices every day at Trader Joe's. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on PeristylePodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.